Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. We are not going back. We are moving ahead in the Word of God and with Christ in our life. Thanking God this morning for His Son. Thanking God this morning for His love. Thanking God this morning because He loved us more than we could ever imagine. Thanking God this morning. As we say every day, at least I say every day, Lord God, good morning. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And I know that I know I'm blessed because you gave me another day. You gave me a do-over. And so I am so thankful, Lord, for the do-over this morning. And I pray that each of you this morning are experiencing a do-over as well. God watches over and bless you as you slumber. We have started a new thing that I've added, and it's a prayer book, and it's 365 days of prayer for life. So we pray this morning as we get ready to start our blog. And the prayer and the scripture for this morning is this: my help. I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection comes only from the Lord, our Creator who made the heavens and the earth. Psalms 121, verses 1 through 2, TPT version. And our word for this morning is help. Have faith. Have faith in God. And when we have faith in God, as the scripture says, and as the psalmist says, that our help comes from Him. And it says, I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection comes only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. And I say, have faith in God. And as we pray this morning, Lord, when I feel that I have nowhere to turn, I look to you, then there is no way out of the situation I'm in. I'll call on your name. You always provide a way through. I will not be afraid of what may come. You are the mighty conqueror. Only you can confuse the enemy and turn a situation to benefit those who love and follow you. You always know exactly what is needed. I will not tremble. I trust in you, my God, my ever-present help in time of need. Creation bows to your intentions. The tides turn at your command. Shift the raging winds and calm the storms that surround your people. You are the only true, reliable one. God of your word, you will not turn a deaf ear when I cry to you. Here you come with more than I could think to ask for. Father God, I thank you for this word this morning. And I ask you to lift up the people that are in need today, Father God. You know who they are. You know those that are on the cusp of job loss. You know those that are on of homelessness. You know those that are in the midst of war. Father God, I ask you to cover each and every one of your children, God. You know what each one needs. Lord God, you even know the hair on their head. Lord God, as we get ready to go through this word this morning, I lift up, look up, and give you honor, glory, and praise, asking you, Father God, to increase as I do too. Father, as I pray every day, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Lifting up every listener, those that listen live and those that listen later, asking you, Lord, to bless them, to guide them, to lead them, to let them know with faith nothing is impossible and that they just need to have faith in you, God. As Jesus said, have faith in God. Father God, we have faith and we believe, oh God. We must indeed faith that mountains can be moved out of our way. And just as James said, Lord God, we will not pray amiss. And we will not pray for selfish reasons. But Lord God, you say whatever we ask in your name, you will do it. So Father, we're asking for peace, for love, for happiness, for security, for joy, for your the love of you in every life, that those that do not know you, Lord God, will get to know you up close and personal. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Thanking God this morning for this mighty word. And for each of you joining us as we read the word of God and move forward in God's word. For those that are just joining this moving forward experience, this is a Bible study. Our goal is, and my assignment is, to read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And the Bible that God gave me for the last 2 years, our 2.5 years actually, has been the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, and the commentary, Life Lessons, Life Questions, Examples. All those come from Dr. Stanley, and some of it's mine, but mostly it's Dr. Stanley. But all of it comes from God. I believe that Dr. Stanley is a anointed and appointed man of God for this season. And so I thank God for this word. I thank God for just being who he is, our awesome and mighty Father who loves his children. So let's get into the word, family. And the word of God says in Numbers chapter 17, starting at verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and get from them a rod from each father's house. All their leaders, according to their father's houses, 12 rods, write each man's name on his rod. And you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. But there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod, a piece, and each leader according to their father's houses, 12 rods and the rod of Aaron were among their rods. And Moses placed the rod before the Lord in the tabernacle of meeting. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witnesses, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord to tell the children of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his rod. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put their complaints away from me. They die. Thus did Moses, just as the Lord had commanded him. So he did. So the children of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, surely we die. We perish. We all perish. Whoever even comes near the tabernacle of the Lord must die. Shall we utterly die? But we all realized they were some rebellious, haphazard group of folks. Just gonna do me. I'm doing me. We gonna pick our own leaders. We gonna do our own thing. Okay? God didn't play. You don't go up talking all this mess. Well, we Levites too. We can do what we want to do. Okay. And where are they? As the ground opened up and swallowed them. Where are the 10 as they died? Where are the 14,700 who died from the sons of Korah? Again, rebellion is not good with God. Some numbers. And it says, then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also, bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle. And I'm sure those that are listening said, oh, wait, we are not messing up. Like our brothers did, who thought that they was just as important as Aaron and Moses. You know, and that was in our lesson on yesterday. You know, folks, you know, well, yesterday it was dealing with the sons of Korah. But, you know, we got folks that think they got it going on. Because I work in the church. I this and I that. No, God, and when you get an I spirit, God will beat you down. He don't play that. God does not play. God will tell you what your assignment is, and you do your assignment. That's all you got to do. Do what you are supposed to do. And as we talked about in yesterday, chapter 15, now understand the sons of Korah, they were Levites also. And they were like the Korah, the sons of Izar, the son of Korah, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram. Now Dathan and Abiram, they was just rebellious. When Moses said, come up to the tabernacle, I ain't going up there. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And what happened? Wound up opening up, blows back up. Anybody else? Don't play with God. So the sons of Korah gone, plague, everything, 14,700 folks dead because of rebellion. Understand, God will give you what you need. If you choose to rebel, then you need to repent quick and in a hurry. And as we continue in our word this morning, and we're going to go back up to verse number 1 of chapter 18. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die, they and you also. They shall be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle meeting for all the work of the tabernacle, but an outsider shall not come near you, and you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, here I myself have also given you charge of my heave offering, all the holy items, holy gifts of the children of Israel. I have given them as a portion to you and your sons, as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire every office of their every grain office, every sin office, every trespass office, which they rendered to me, shall be most holy for you and your sons. In a most holy place you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. God is giving Aaron instructions, and Aaron just needs to follow those instructions. And as we continue in our word, it says this: this also is yours, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the new wine and the grain, their first fruits which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. Whatever first ripe fruit is in your land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that first opens the womb of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem, and those redeemed of the devoted things you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to your valuation, for 5 shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as an offering made by fire, for a sweet aroma to the Lord. And their flesh shall be yours, just as the wave bread and the right thigh are yours. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. The sons of Levi have an assignment. Aaron and his descendants have assignment. And it goes to tell us, then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance for the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithes, and your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel. And you shall give the Lord heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. Of all your gifts you shall offer up every heave offering due to the Lord, from all the best of them, the consecrated part of them. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall bear no sin because of it. When you have lifted up the best, but you have not profaned the holy gift of the children of Israel, lest you die. Psalm chapter 32. We'll get to life lessons, life questions after we finish the word this morning. We'll go back and get all the life questions and life lessons. And it says this in Psalms chapter 32, verse 6 through 11. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. We got to have faith in God. David, have faith in God. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. As righteousness leads to life, he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. You got to catch that. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Folks that like dictators better understand, if they are pursuing evil, they are pursuing it. God does not lie and he does not play. We got to have faith in God that everything will work for the good of those who trust in him. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. Reading it again. Those who are a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. But the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. But the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Understand, if you think you're getting away with something, you're not. If you're someone who's less than you, like they are your servants, like they're your slaves, understand, God is not pleased. God is in charge of everything. And when we have faith in God, all things work together for our good. We got to keep that Roman word in our heart. All things work together for our good. But understand, when we trust in the Lord, we got to trust God and know that all things are working for our good when we put our faith, when we put our trust in him. Jesus said, have faith in God. And we can know that who our daddy is. And we got to know that we are his children. He has adopted us and grafted us in. We are part of his vine. So we got to have faith in our Father that what he says he will do, he will do. And again, God is not an ATM. Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 33. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And let's go back over to yesterday's lesson to understand this word. Now remember, they were hungry. Jesus was hungry. And so when he went in and he saw this fig tree that did not have any figs on it. Actually, I believe that was not yesterday. That was Monday's lesson. So we're going to go back to Monday's lesson. And it says this. I'm going to find it. I'm looking. I'm by the mayor. I am looking, y'all, so please forgive me. I know it's in one of our previous lessons, but right now I cannot find it, but I know it's there. Because there's a lot of words that we have been through in the last week. But I know this word is in Mark, where he dried up the fig tree. Also, it's in Matthew, too. But let's keep it going, and because I don't want to get off track, because it's just a small word today. But I am going to find that fig tree reference before we get out of here this morning. But anyway, it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter remembered saying, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. You know, and that was the first time that you ever see when Jesus curses something. He's not one that curses anything. Always, you know, brings life, lifts up. Here it is. It was in yesterday's lesson. I knew I saw it. And this is what it says in Mark chapter 11, verse number 12. And it says, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, meaning Jesus. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to him, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. And so that was where that came from. I knew it was in chapter 11. I knew we had just read it. So when they came back by that fig tree, it was all dried up. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Can I say it again? Therefore, I say to you, this is not me speaking. This is not Mark speaking. This is Jesus telling his disciples and telling us. Therefore, I say, but again, the caveat is have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That's another thing. You've got to forgive. You can't walk around mad at your daddy. You can't walk around mad at your mama. You can't walk around mad at your siblings. You can't walk around mad at your children. You can't walk around mad at your pastors and the members of your church. I just can't stand them people. Then why do you go to that church? We got to understand, you got to forgive Sister Susie. You got to forgive those that have hurt you, those that have harmed you, those that have caused you issues in your life, issues in your career, issues in your job. Forgive them. Let it go. Shake it off. Give them to God. Keep moving forward. And watch God give you the desire of your heart. Because Jesus has said in his word, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. I said again, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I can't walk around mad at Sister Susie because Sister did this, that, and the other to me. I said this, that, and the other about me. And so I don't like Sister Susie, so I got an ought against her, and I talk about her like a dog. We can't do that. We got to let that mess go. Give it to God and keep on moving. Because it is not at your best interest to have a lot of hate in your heart. God does not want that for his children. He wants us to love each other. He wants us to forgive each other. He wants us to ask forgiveness. Trust God and know that he has you in his loving arms. And it goes on to tell us as we continue the word. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? Now, instead of saying, Brother John can walk now, but he's been disabled all his life since birth and not able to walk. You want to know how you heal, Brother John. Brother Bartholomew couldn't see all his life, but he cried out to you, Son of David, are you the one? How did you do that? How did you give Brother Bartholomew his eyes? How did you give Blind Bartimaeus his eyes? Blind Bartimaeus has been blind all his life. I know his mama and his dad. But yet, crying out to you. I don't know what he was saying. But some people were saying he was calling out to the Son of David. And you killed him. How did you do that? Whose authority do you have? Who told you you could come and start healing people? Who told you you could come and clean out our house that we are allowing doves to be sold and commerce to happen? Who told you you could come in and do all this stuff? So they was trying to have a moment with Jesus. But Jesus don't play He didn't play then, and he don't play now. And what did he tell them? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they fear the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed, which he was. So they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus being Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. In other words, mind your business. You mind your business 6 months out of the year, and you mind your business the other 6 months out of the year. And guess what? For the whole year, you minding your business and not trying to mind mine. We got to understand, you mind your business, I'll mind my business, and we'll all be just fine. But don't try to mind my business, because I'm not going to try to mind yours. So again, you mind your business first 6 months of the year. Oh, and then you mind your business the last 6 months of the year. And guess what? For the whole year, you minded your business. And that's what we got to have a mind. Your business in our philosophy of life. Because so many times, folks want to mind everybody's business, tell everybody what to do. But yet, when it gets flipped, that script, they can't handle it. They don't want nobody telling them what to do. That's just like all these laws being made about everything and everybody. But yet, you whine and complain about wearing a little piece of cloth over your nose to keep you safe. You whine about a vaccine to save your life, but yet you want to tell women about their bodies and what they can do with their bodies. You want to tell parents what they can and can't do with their children. You want to tell everybody what they can and can't do, but yet you whine and complain about a little mask and a vaccine. And I'm talking politicians. You know, we got to understand hypocrisy, and it's a horrible, horrible thing. We cannot be hypocrites and claim to love God. We got to walk in righteousness and, again, mind our own business. Unless it is something that's the detriment, like what's going on in other places that can hurt the whole world, then I am minding my business. I'm minding my business if you bring a gun into the church house, because the wrong person getting a hold of that gun can kill folks. So I'm going to mind your business on that. If you are a child and you are taking a knife to school because you're going to get somebody, then I'm going to mind your business and make sure that knife does not go to school. We got to start minding our children's business. Because it is to help them, not to harm them. So there's some business you got to mind, and there's other business that you need to leave alone. So as we go forth in this word again, remember this. Have faith in God. Moses had faith in God. When God said, bring me 12 rocks, each one representing the family of Israel, each one. And bring one from Aaron, and I want his name written on it. So all those other 11 had a name written on it, just like Aaron had his name on it. And this is what happened, and this is a life lesson. Moses went into the tabernacle witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron had produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. The Lord will go to great lengths to show us and confirm to us his perfect will. Not only did Aaron's rod show signs of growth, but it showed the complete cycle of the almond tree from bud to blossom to fruit. Interestingly, the almond was a symbol for haste and vigilance. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. Two qualities the high priest would need to exhibit hate and vigilance. And we're going to go over really quick to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. And I'm coming out of the Christian Standard Bible for this word as soon as I can move this page. And we're going to go to verse number 11 through 12 of Jeremiah chapter 1. Two visions is what it's titled. We might just read the whole vision. It says, "And then the word of the Lord came to me, asking, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' I replied, 'I see a branch of an almond tree.' The Lord said to me, 'You have seen correctly, for I watch over my word to accomplish it.'" I watch over my word to accomplish it. And let's keep going. "Again, the word of the Lord came to me asking, 'What do you see?' And I replied, 'I see a boiling pot, its lip tilted from the north to the south.' Then the Lord said to me, 'Disaster will be poured out from the north on all who live in the land. Indeed, I am about to summon all the clans and kingdoms of the north. This is the Lord's declaration. They will come, and each king will set up his throne at the entrance to Jerusalem's gate. They will attack.'" And again, when a prophet speaks, we need to listen. Jeremiah spoke, and they needed to listen. Haste and vigilance to qualities the high priest would need to exhibit. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, "I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel." Aaron had no territorial property, but God gave him himself as Aaron's portion and inheritance. When we find our treasure in God, we gain a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Psalm 32, verse 9, "Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. We expect animals to do animal-like things because God has not given them the ability to think. It should not take pain to move us toward God because we should delight to draw near Him." In God. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. "Why is it so important to forgive others?" What did Jesus say? That God, have faith in God. "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks," whatever he says. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But there's a caveat. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." And it pretty much also says, "In your prayer will not be answered." Whatever you're asking for, it's not going to happen if you run around with an unforgiving heart. I'm just calling it like it is. We got to understand everything has a purpose, a reason, and everything comes from God. But we got to have faith. But you also have to have forgiveness in your heart. And it goes on to tell us, this is what Dr. Stanley says about it, all of us at some point have to deal with the issue of unforgiveness. When we allow a bitter spirit to lodge in our souls, where it grows and festers, it becomes both painful and destructive. Unforgiveness lies at the root of many of the physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual problems we see today. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. When Paul spoke of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, he was describing the ugly manifestation of a spirit of unforgiveness. A spirit of unforgiveness goes beyond a temporary unwillingness to forgive. The period between the time a person gets hurt and the time he forgives the one who hurt him, a spirit of unforgiveness develops when the one hurt chooses to remain in that unforgiving state. I've seen this spirit, and it has made folks crazy. It has made folks doubt God. It has made folks lose their mind. Unforgiveness is a horrible thing. And if you are allowing it to fester in your life, you will not be able to move forward. You will be stuck in the muck and the mud. You'll be stuck in the mud and not able to move because you cannot forgive. We got to forgive. And I mean, we all have gone through hurt. We all have gone through pain. We all have gone through something. But we got to let it go. And I would be a liar if I said that it was easy, because sometimes it's not, because what happened may have affected your whole life. But the bottom line is, when you let it go and give it to God, God handles the situation. God handles the persons that may have hurt you. God takes care of everything. All you got to do is let it go and put it in high school and then laughed about messing up my white shoes. So now I ain't forgiving him. Excuse me. You going to let unforgiveness from a high school flight of someone stepping on your white shoes and laughing about it for the rest of your life? You going to forget unforgiveness? Well, mama didn't pay me no attention, so I can't stand my siblings. I can't stand them, because mama loved my brother more than he loved me. My daddy loved my sister more than he loved me. And this is the brother speaking. Now, I understand. So these siblings are walking around with unforgiveness because of some perceived slight. I watched the movie the other day with Whoopi Goldberg in it. It's an older movie with Whoopi Goldberg and Ben Rhames, and then it had Tanisha Arnold and I can't remember some other folks. I can't remember all their names. But the bottom line is Ben Rhames was the dad. And the mom was dying. She had some issues with her lungs. But her kids had all kind of issues of unforgiveness. Most of it was unforgiveness. And a new generation was starting to become an unforgiving generation, because one daughter's daughter was being molested by her stepfather. And she walked in, called him and everything. Daughter didn't want to forgive her, but she eventually did. Because before mom died, she wrote letters for each of her children. But the problem was that the person that they had an unforgiving spirit towards had to read the letter. So the other one pushed her down the steps, and she couldn't forgive her. And then the son had an issue against the dad. And then the young girl had an issue against her mother. So each one had to read a letter to the other. And what comes out is the one who thought that her sister pushed her down the steps. What happened was mom was carrying laundry, bumped into the sister, and the sister bumped into her, and that's how she fell. So mom was one of the issues, was the issue that caused the fall. So it wasn't unintended. And then the mom wrote to the other sister, "Your sister loves you. She has loved you since you came out of the womb." And then the other one had to read how much she loved her sister. The little girl had to read to her mom, and the mom had to read to her daughter. And the son takes that, and the dad takes that. But she had to have closure before she left the house. And each one of these people got closure and love of their family. Mom wanted everybody happy, and she gave them all what they needed before she died. But the one thing they all needed is to forgive. Great movie. And this is what it says. People who develop their nasty spirit often say, I just don't think I could ever forgive that. They make the statement when they feel they have been treated in such an unjust, unfair, harmful way that they simply can't let go of the pain. We all could be hurt. Every one of us has been hurt, are hurting now, are going to be hurt by somebody. The only way we can insulate ourselves against being hurt is to completely remove ourselves from the possibility of love. To risk love is to risk hurt. Hurt is unavoidable, but we can deal with hurt. No pain is too deep are too widespread to lie beyond the power of God's forgiveness. Working in and through us, unforgiveness is a choice we make with the will, and it's a devastatingly bad choice, not only for the relationship, not only for the cause of Christ, but also for the one who refuses to forgive. We shouldn't forget that it was our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who ended a story on the necessity of forgiveness with these words, and his master was angry and delivered him to be tortured until he should pay all that was due him. And we know that's from the story of the ungrateful servant. So my Heavenly Father, will each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So forgive today. Give it to God, let it go, shake it off, and watch God work in your life. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I say one more time, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And what Sister Carolyn has to say is, good morning. Don't give up on a good tomorrow because of a bad yesterday. God can make all things new. Have a transforming Thursday. Right there. Don't give up on a good tomorrow. In other words, don't give up on God. Let go of whatever happened yesterday. Whatever bad thing happened yesterday, don't bring it into today. Forgiveness from yesterday and bring it in to today. God's got you covered. Have faith in God and pray. Push and pray until something happens. And watch God work in your life. And that's all I got this morning. Thank you all for listening in. We have had an awesome and great word today. I feel that I hope you are too. Please join me tomorrow morning as we move forward in God's word and know that God's got it. All we have to do is have faith. Be blessed, family. It is a what? It's a wrap. As we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours be blessed and know that there is only one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit. They are one, and they love you. Have a blessed day. It's God.